the word of prayer, all right? Father, thank you so much for this time to come together and now to study your word. So we've lifted up your name and song, and we've worshiped you, Lord. We've prepared our hearts to receive from you now. We pray, Lord, that you would speak a word to us that would be the incorruptible seed that it is, guaranteed to produce fruit in our lives. Father, we receive it today as just that, and trust that the word that we hear will cause faith to rise in our heart and cause our lives to move in a new direction. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Well, it is Memorial Day Sunday, and many people, most of you guys, I think, are probably off yesterday, today, tomorrow. I have a little vacation, and since most of you guys are taking Memorial Day off, I think I'll take the day off too. And don't get too excited. I do have a special thing to share with you this morning. Next week, what I want to do, and I say what I want to do, usually when I announce ahead of time what I want to do, the Lord ends up changing my plans in the middle of the week, and so I look like an idiot because I announced what I was going to do and didn't do it. Anyway, moving forward, my intentions are to do a series of messages that I want to entitle Expecting the Unexpected. Expecting the Unexpected. And I want to look at just some stories in the Bible, some of them familiar, some of them maybe not too familiar, of the things that God did and the ways that he did those things that was all completely unexpected. Unexpected things done in unexpected ways. And the reason we want to share the message as always is to stretch our heart, to stretch our faith, to stretch our hope, to know that God can do anything. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20 that he can do anything that we can ask or think. Now think about that. Think about what that means for just a moment. If you can imagine it, you haven't reached the limits of God, because he can do beyond that. If you can imagine the way for it to be done, if you can imagine what to be done, you haven't reached the limits of God, because he can do far beyond anything we can ask or think, anything we can imagine. So we want to look at some of those things. That'll be some fun. I believe it'll encourage us to trust the Lord through whatever it is we might be going through in life and have an expectation of God doing something mighty in our life. This morning, being as I was praying about what to share with you today, and you can go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and we'll read a passage from Romans 12 in just a few moments. It is Memorial Day. It's the day that we celebrate, and we've seen, you know, some words and posts and things like that on the internet, people reminding us this is not Veterans Day, this is not Armed Forces Day, Memorial Day, and they're all different. We honor veterans that have served and are living among us on Veterans Day. Armed Forces Day is for people who are actively serving. Memorial Day is when we remember those that gave their lives for our nation that we might be free. And so today we do that. And in that context of a people, listen, we're talking about brave men and women who valiantly gave their lives. They believed in the United States and all that we stand for. They believe in the freedom and liberty that we have here. So completely they were willing to give their lives for it. And that's awesome. That's awesome. And they should be remembered. And we should honor that memory of what they did. But in that context, I want to challenge you today to believe in something so much that you're willing to give your life for it. And I'm talking about a greater kingdom, greater than the United States of America. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Being willing to sacrifice your life and being willing to give your time and to give your energy and give your effort and give your all for the sake of the kingdom of God, so that Jesus can be glorified in and through your life. And so this morning I want to read from this passage of scripture from Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3, and just talk to you about Just kind of talk with you for a little bit this morning about our planning for the future at Victory Christian Fellowship. You know, this is the time of year. Well, maybe you don't know it, but I do. We're nine months into the church year already, even though we're only, you know, 5 months into the calendar year. The church year starts in September, And it's now when we ought to start thinking and planning and preparing and scheduling and all these kinds of things. And, you know, we like to sneak vacation in there too. And so we've got to get all this stuff done in the next couple of months. And to do that, we've got to give you time to pray about your part in the church and all of these kinds of things. And so as I was thinking about all this week, I just felt like I wanted to challenge you and encourage you to seek the Lord about the part that you could play in Victory Christian Fellowship. And, you know, I know that, you know, a lot of people say, well, I just don't know that I can do this or I can't and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to answer that question for you today, okay? So when you leave here today, you'll know. You may say, I won't, but you can't say I can't, okay? And I'll just share that with you going in. I'll give you 2 minutes to leave before I start. All right, you're responsible now for what you hear, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." So it is here among us at Victory Christian Fellowship. We are individuals, and yet we are one body, one local body, Victory Fellowship, a part of the bigger body, the body of Christ. And we don't all have the same function. Verse 6, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his service. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." And we'll just end right there, because that sets the stage for what I want to share with you this morning. Now look, I realize we are a small church, and we've taken on a lot for a church this size, I believe anyway, and there's just a lot of things that go on in the life of the church that, quite frankly, requires everybody's participation in order for us to do the things that we try to do here, whether it's, you know, the outreach ministries that we do, and the gateway where we serve the guys down there, or just a typical Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, you've got tech guys, you've got greeters and ushers, you've got nursery workers, you've got breakfast preparers, you've got musicians, you've got singers, you've got all of these things that take place on Sunday morning. And you got to have people filling those positions and doing all of those things. And in this church, we're very blessed to have so many people who are so willing to do all of the things that we're doing here at the church. But you know, if we're going to do more, it's going to require that we do more. That we do more. And I think you feel as I do that we want the church to grow, and we want the children in the church to be blessed, and we want to have additional ministries that will bless people. And if we're going to do all of those kinds of things, then we've got to be faithful to be willing to step up, step out, and do something extra for the kingdom of God and for Victory Christian Fellowship. And I want to challenge in particular this morning, I want to challenge the younger people of our church, whether it's the college age or teens or listen, at my age, anybody under 50 is young, okay? All right. Get it out of your system. You know, I tell you a joke of my father. In his 80s, early 80s. He passed away up in his early 80s. We were still going out to lunch on Mondays. And I remember one Monday we're going to lunch. And he made a comment. He's about 80, 81 years old. He made a comment about old people. I just kind of chuckled and I said, because I knew I had him. I said, "Who are you to be talking about old people?" He said, "I ain't old." I said, "You're not?" He said, "No." I said, "What do you consider old, Pop?" "Nanny." It's just a fact that the older that we get, the older old gets, you know. And so that's just the way it is, I guess. But particularly when we're talking to people, ministering to the children. You know, we need younger people. Hey, look, they got a lot of, they wear me out just watching them. There's no way I can minister to young people, okay? I can't keep up with them. And so we need younger people who will be willing to step up and take on responsibility of ministering to the young people. I don't know how much Geritol I have to drink to watch those kids in children's church on Sunday morning, but I know they're bound to wear her out down there, all of them that are in, to be honest with you, Bonnie has said for years, she loves the children and she loves ministering to the kids downstairs. I know Becky does too. She ministers to the same group on Wednesday night. Let me just remind you that we do have a youth meeting on Wednesday night for the young people. And so you're welcome to bring them up there for that. But Bonnie has said for years, you know, she loves the kids and enjoys doing what she's doing. But if there was somebody else who wanted to do it, she would gladly coach them and then step aside and let them take over the working of the young people. And I think, you know, the truth of the matter is, I think again, no offense to Bonnie's my sister. Most of you know that. No offense to her or to my wife, Becky. But I think our young people, our children could use some more energy and some younger people bring new vision into some things to help the young people. I know, and again, God bless all of our guys. I know Gary Fields and Larry Howell are going to be here. I pointed them out because they're both older than me. They're going to be here week after week after week after week. And if you want to play, that's great. But you know what? You know, there comes a time when we just need an infusion of youth in some things. I know I feel that as far as praise and worship is concerned. To have somebody younger to step up and to lead the praise and worship. I'm just telling you, look, there's a lot of things that we could use a lot of help on in the church and the ministries that we're trying to do and these other things. We could use some help on these kinds of things. And again, before anybody says, well, I can't do that. Let me just remind you, well, I've shared my story so many times about saying I can't to God. And God reminding us that we can if we'll just trust in Him. It's a matter of God's grace being sufficient. I want you to notice something in the passage that we read here. In verse 3 and in verse 6, Paul uses the word grace. Given to me, I say to everyone among you. In verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let me just share something about the word grace. You know, usually in the church, we hear the word grace, we immediately think salvation. We all know the verse in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you are saved through faith. Isn't that right? We all know that verse. You know, it's not of works. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We all know that. I think, unfortunately, when we hear the word grace, we all too often just always associate it with salvation and being born again. But the Bible uses the word grace in a lot of different contexts. And in fact, in the context that's being used here by Paul, Paul is actually talking about the grace that God has given him to preach the gospel and to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. I know that it's by the grace of God that I stand before you every Sunday and share the word of the Lord. I could not do this on my own. The person that I am as someone who is, my wife doesn't believe this, but as somebody who is genuinely a shy person. And I'm not real comfortable in crowds or especially new people. Because I'm a shy person. And it's by the grace of God that I'm able to do these things. And Paul, and the Bible uses the word grace in a lot of different ways. He uses it here to speak about the grace that was given to him to preach the word of the Lord. And there are a lot of different ways the Bible uses the word grace. In fact, let me just share a couple of them with you. And by the way, grace means the divine enablement of God. It's God's enablement to cause you to do something that you would not ordinarily be able to do for yourself. Listen, I'm answering the I can't question for you, okay? Because it's God's grace that says you can. And the Bible uses the word grace in 2 Corinthians 8. The Bible uses the word grace to talk about giving. That the people had such a grace in their giving that they gave beyond what it even looked possible for them to do. They were graced with the ability, divinely, to be willing to let go of things and to give to the work of the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we looked at it last week. Paul uses the word grace in the context of having the ability to and the strength to go through the tests and trials of life. That when you look at life, you might think, you know, I don't know how I can get through this. In fact, Paul said that. Paul prayed to the Lord. Paul talked about the persecutions, tests, and trials that he went through. And he prayed to God and said, God, please take it away. Paul prayed three times for God to take it away. And God said, Paul, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm not going to take those things away, but I am going to give you grace to endure. I'm going to give you grace to go through. I'm going to give you grace to overcome. See, that's what God wants to do. And so grace, he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And so Paul said, most seriously then, I'll go through what I have to face because I know that when I'm weak, God will fill me with strength and ability. He used the word grace to describe those circumstances. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible uses the word grace to talk about spiritual gifts, supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, miracles, healings, all of these kinds of things are grace gifts that God gives to us. When the Bible talks about, you know, grace and not under the law anymore, that doesn't mean that our sins have been forgiven and now because of grace we can just live however we want to and we don't have to worry about it. No, grace, listen, grace is not license to sin. It's freedom from sin. It's power over sin so that we don't have to submit to it. We don't have to give in to it. There's grace for everything. Becky's smartphone died on her yesterday. Shows you how smart that phone is. Her smartphone died and we got it. Smartphones, they have an app for everything. Kimberly was talking about somebody talking to her about apps on the smartphone and she had no idea what they're talking about. There are apps for everything. You know, if you want to check on the weather, there's an app for that. If you want to check how far your run was, there's an app for that. If you want to order pizza, there's an app for that. I mean, there's apps for everything. Becky's got an app on her phone that turns it into a flashlight. She's got an app on her phone that turns it into a mirror. I mean, there's just apps for everything. Listen, I just want to tell you about the grace of God today. I want to tell you that there's a grace for everything. There's a grace for everything, for whatever you need in life, or whatever you're going through. There's a grace for that. I go up to Liberty Ridge to see Mom up there at the nursing home, and I see the people up there. To see some of them in the condition that they're in, your heart breaks. You see some of those people, and some of them, you know, muscular dystrophy or ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, or they've suffered a stroke or something like that. And they've been through difficult times and hard. Look at these people. And so many of these precious people, they sit there and you talk with them and they laugh and they smile and they're happy and they have peace. And you look at people like that and you think, how do they have all of that? How do they feel that way in that condition? And you realize it's the grace of God. When people go through traumas and tragedies and yet are still able to smile and still able to have the joy of the Lord, you know, there's a grace for that. There's just a grace for everything. And we look at people like that sometimes and we think, well, I could never, I don't know, I hope I never get like that because I don't think I could ever make it if I got it. You know why you think that? It's because you don't have the grace to go through that. Do you know why? Don't have that, you don't need it right now. Let me tell you something about the grace of God. When you need it, it'll be there. But until you need it, probably won't. And the interesting thing about it is, typically to experience that grace, we have to take a step of faith. Remember the Peter's boat sermon? Peter had to step out of the boat in order to experience the grace and the miracle to walk on water. The grace was there, but he had to take a step of faith. And so it is with us. If we're going to experience the grace of the Lord, you know, we have to be willing to step out and trust that the Lord is going to be there to be the foundation under our steps as we walk. And so, you know, maybe the reason you feel like you can't do something is because until now, let me just put it this way to you. Until now, felt God call you to do anything. Maybe God is calling you to do something new. Maybe there's a new time. Maybe in your life. Maybe God is wanting this to be the year when you step out to do something. You haven't felt like you could before now because there was no reason to. God didn't call you till now. But now that He's calling, now that God is inviting you to do something, maybe now, if you'll take a step of faith, you'll experience the grace of God and the reality of God's strength to enable you to do what you never thought you could do before. Maybe now is your time. We've shared ministry and stories before from the Bible of all the people in the Bible who didn't think they were able. Well, I'm not able. Well, I can't. Moses said, I can't. God said, I will be with you. That's grace. That's grace. Gideon said the same thing. God, I can't. I'm not your man, God. To deliver Israel from the Midianites, I'm not your man. Said, it's okay, Gideon. I will be with you. That's grace. That's grace, you see. The promise of grace to be there in that time of difficulty. Lots of people were unqualified. Look at 1 Corinthians. You're in Romans. Go to the next book, 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Look down verse 26. We need to remember that the people of the Bible were just people, just like you and me. And in all probability, when God first called them to do something, they may have said, I don't know. Just like we. We know some of them answered the call immediately. But I have to wonder if some of those disciples that followed Jesus, if they really felt like they were in the right group. You know? Are we qualified? Can we do this? Don't you think? Thomas probably felt that way. Thomas, can you do this? Well, I doubt it. But look at what it says here. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says in verse 26, 1 Corinthians 1, 26, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, the I can'ts of the world. He's chosen you. The base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that He might nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. God chooses the people who can't. Listen, once you've said I can't, you can't then turn around and say, look what I did. Isn't that right? You've already said you can't. You can't take credit now. You have to give the credit to the Lord. You have to give credit where the credit is due. And God chooses the lowly, the foolish, the weak, in order to shame the wise and the strong. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, I won't ask you to... In verse 17, that the disciples that followed Jesus were untrained, unlearned men. These were not seminarians. These were not the elite of the education gene pool, all right, that followed Jesus. I mean, just read the Bible, guys. Some of these guys weren't the sharpest knives in the drawer, but listen, they did what God asked them to do. God was always there to give them grace, to give them grace. And God enabled them to do the things that they couldn't do. Most of you are familiar with the name Joel Osteen. Pastors one of the largest churches in the United States. Did you know what he was doing before he was pastor? Yeah, he worked in the TV room. He kind of headed up for his father, John Osteen. And never once felt the call to be in front of the camera. Believed in the rest of it. He was good at it. He did a great job with it. Believed that's what his calling was, and he believed that's where he was going to be. And then all of a sudden his father passed away. And he said he immediately knew He immediately knew God was going to call him to step up and take his father's place. Though he had never heard the call, never desired to be in the ministry before. And God called him when his father passed away, and he stepped up, and God graced him. God graced him with the ability to encourage the body of Christ. And whatever you think of Joel Osteen, it's between you and God. I think he's misrepresented to a degree. I think Joel Osteen is calling his gifting ultimately as an encourager to the body of Christ. I really do. And I think he does that quite well. Hey, he's not perfect. Yeah, believe it or not, I'm not either. None of us are. None of us are. We all know, we see through a glass darkly, don't we? Boy, it's just so easy that preachers make a ton of them. That's why the Bible said that God chose the foolish things of the world. He calls them preachers. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Turn over there with me. You see, here's the point. Here's what I'm going for today. God is not looking so much for qualified people as he is simply looking for people who have a willing heart and are faithful people. It's why we look for people who will be faithful to the church, to be a part of the ministry and to do the things that need to be done around the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to see this, even of the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Let's read through verse 14. Paul writes, and he was a mentor for Timothy, who would go and pastor churches after Paul had left, or go help things, set things in order in churches after Paul had moved on to another. So writing back to encourage him in the ministry. Look what he says. Paul says in 1 Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me. Because he considered Paul putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly and unfaithfully. The grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Jesus. Please notice verse 12. Please notice Paul says, I thank Jesus because he strengthened me, because he considered me faithful and put me in ministry. Paul didn't say God considered me qualified and put me in ministry. He didn't say God considered me anointed and gifted, so he put me in ministry. He said God considered me faithful, and then he anointed me and put me in the ministry. Here's the point, guys. God, listen. How can I say this? Well, I'll just say it this way. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Okay? He qualifies those who will say yes to the call. He'll provide the strength. He'll provide the anointing after we say yes to him to do the work that he's called us to do. He'll provide the grace and the equipping. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says, God considered me faithful, so he put me in the ministry and he gave me strength and he gave me anointing to do the work that I'm called to do. So here's his instructions to Timothy about how he's to find people to be in the ministry that he is leading. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, lean on the anointing that's in you. Trust in the Lord who is with you. Look to God for what you need to do the work of the ministry. Verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men. Not gifted men, not anointed men, but faithful men. In other words, he says the first thing to look for when you're looking for people to serve in the ministry is not the gift so much. Gifting's good. Don't misunderstand. It's not the gift, but it's the faithfulness. Will that person be faithful? Because listen to me. How many of you know it doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how qualified you are. It doesn't matter how excellent you are. You're useless if you don't show up. Pretty simple. And so God says, look for faithful men, and I'll provide everything else they need. Just find faithful people. Just find faithful people. Can you be a faithful person? God can give you everything else you need to do what He's called you to do. And He will, if you'll be faithful to the Lord and seek His grace. And so, We don't look. In fact, I'll just say this because I got a couple extra minutes. Just be real honest. Commitment and faithfulness are not strong suits of the present generation. I'll just say that. And I'll even go further. I'll say you can blame that on my generation. You can blame that on us. Man, up through the 50s. The United States, well, it still is, but the United States was clearly the most awesome nation in the world. And people cared about people, and people sacrificed for one another. And even through the days of the Depression, if a family had just enough to get by on, and another family had nothing, the family who had just enough would give half of what they had to the people who had nothing. And they would all get by on not enough rather than somebody not have anything. Then my generation came along, the 60s and the 70s, and it became all about me. All about me. What can I get? What can I have? What can I do? All about me. And so the world turns. And today it's hard. It's hard to get people to look outside themselves and to consider others. Sacrifice? God is looking for a people who will be faithful. And by faithful, I mean faithful in their nature as a person. Just generally faithful. I'm not talking about faithful to a specific thing. I'm talking about just faithful. You're just faithful. Whatever you do, you're faithful. Okay? Let me give you an example just so you understand what I'm trying to say. Years ago, we had some folks come to the church and the lady wanted to help out in the nursery, and we said, okay, you know, they were semi-faithful to the church, I guess. And she says, wanted to work in the nursery. I said, okay, we put her on the nursery rotation every 4, 5, 6 weeks, whatever. She was in the nursery. And pretty soon they came less and less to church. But she was always there on the Sunday. She was in the nursery, but they came less and less to church. And coming to church was the Sunday that she had the nursery. And pretty soon after that, weren't even coming to praise and worship before nursery. Just slip in at 11 o'clock, go in the back door, keep the nursery, and slip out and go home. And we never saw him anymore. Now, she was faithful to the nursery. And, you know, that's good. But church, faithful to the Lord, that's between them and God. There's no way I can judge that. But I do know they weren't faithful to the church, even though she was faithful. I'm talking about being faithful in all things. I'm talking about being faithful to Jesus first and foremost. And because you're faithful to Jesus, you're faithful to the church. And because you're faithful to the church, you're faithful to the ministry that you serve at the church. Faithful in all things. Faithful as a person. Not just faithful to a specific situation. Hey, most of us can fake that for a while. I'm talking about overall faithfulness. A faithfulness that begins with a faithfulness to the Lord. And to be honest, this is why we do things the way that we do here at the church. As a general rule, we don't ask people to serve in the church until they've been to the church for 6 months to a year and proved themselves faithful. Hey, we want to know we can count on you. We want to know we can count on you. And so we typically here for people to serve. I realize this is not the way the typical church is run, okay? Here's the typical church for you. Somebody walks in the door, new visitor for the first time. The first thought is, where can we put them in service so they'll stay at the church? Guys, that's almost manipulative, okay? And that's not what we're about around here. We want you to be here because you want to be here, and then when you want to be here, then we want to use you for the Lord. I don't want you to have to come. I don't want to mess up your weekend. You have to come to church on Sunday when you'd rather be someplace else. Just go someplace else. I mean, let's be honest here. You coming to fulfill your responsibility when you want to be someplace else anyway, what use is that? You're not doing yourself any favors. You're not gaining brownie points with God for that. You'll go someplace else. But we want people to be faithful to the Lord, and then faithful to the church. And then, having proven faithfulness to the church, to be used faithfully in the ministry of the church. And again, there's a lot to do here. Whether we need, bless his heart, Todd's back there again by himself. My son is in Colorado. He's going to be working there this week. And I threatened him 2 or 3 times. I had to take him to the airport yesterday morning. And I threatened him 2 or 3 times that I won't go take him until Sunday afternoon. He wouldn't change his flight, so I had to take him. But, you know, Todd's back there serving. And, you know, there's another one. You know, you can count on Todd, and Stuart's playing the drums, and Ben's on the guitar. You know, they're people you just know they're going to be here. So many of you. I shouldn't have started naming names, because most of you. You just know that people are going to be here, and it's awesome. It's awesome. But hey, look, Todd needs a break too. And suppose that's the same week Sean's out of town working. Now who's in the booth back there? Well, maybe nobody. See, so we need people just about everywhere. We need people who can fill in. We had a couple people missing this morning from praise and worship. Hey, it's summertime around here. People are going to take vacations, and that's awesome. That's good. But you know what? We need people who can step up and fill in the holes when people are stepping out. So we need people for all kinds of things like that. Whether it's usher greeter, whether it's in the nursery, fixing, we can always use people to fix breakfast downstairs. We can just always use people for that. Or whatever it is. Well, we got to decide in another month or so, or we're going to do another Christmas choir. We'd like to have about 20 people to volunteer and to do that. We've got to make that decision. You know, again, youth workers, children's church, praise and worship team, and boy, would really, hint, hint, like to see some of you between teens and 20s and 30s to step up and fill some of those kinds of positions. And 40s and 50s. All right. But seriously, we could use an infusion of youth and leadership positions in the church. And we're just asking you today to begin to pray about what the Lord might have you to do to be a part of the ministry here at Victory Christian Fellowship. And don't, you know, when you pray, don't go into prayer with the attitude, I can't. You just have to be willing to say yes to God. And God makes up the difference from that point on. God will give you the grace. God will call you. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the strength and the wisdom. We'll help you. We'll train you to teach you to do certain things that need to be done, all these kinds of things. But we need for you to pray about how you can help us grow this ministry. And I don't necessarily mean by numbers. If it grows by numbers, great. But more than anything else, we want the spirit of this church to grow. And we want the spirit of the children to grow. Bonnie's got about a dozen kids downstairs probably this morning, maybe more than that. And we want those children to know the Lord, and we want them to be filled with the Spirit of God, and we want them to know how to walk in victory in the world that they're living in. Because as I've already told you, you know, the world that we're turning over to them is not nearly as nice as the world we inherited. And they need to be ready to live in it. And we want to train them up so that they can do it and be victorious in it. So pray about how you can help in the ministry. And listen, if it all comes down to the you just don't believe, pray that God will send people who will get involved. Pray that God will send some people to us that can help us with the ministry. Maybe that's where God wants you, just to be praying. You know, Ed talked about the 10%. 90% is in the Spirit. And we can do a whole lot more. Listen, that's a whole other sermon. My time is gone. We can do a whole lot more in the prayer booth than we can in the voting booth, all right? Let me just say that. Because it is 90% in the Spirit. pray. Pray with us. Seek the Lord. Ask Him what He would have you to do. Be willing to be faithful. Trust God to give you the grace to do what He's calling you to do. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You so much for this little church. Becky and I have been so blessed for nearly 3 decades to lead these precious and dear people. We love them so much for the faithfulness that they've shown to us over the years. The faithfulness in being here and participating and giving and enabling us to do all the things that we've done all this time. All that we own, all debt free. Lord, it's because of Your grace. It's because of Your grace that we've done these things. We just praise You for it all. Lord, as we begin to make plans for a new church year, I ask You, Father, to speak to the hearts of the people that are faithful and committed to Victory Christian Fellowship about the part that You would have them to play in this ministry. Wherever it might be, Father, we ask You to speak to their hearts. We trust, Lord, that they would just have willing hearts. We trust that they will be faithful to You and to the church, and not just in what they are called to do, but in all things they'll be faithful. Father, we just look forward to the new year with hope, with expectation. We expect the unexpected because You're so awesome. You can do anything, anywhere, anytime. It's all according to Your will. So, Lord, I just want to thank You in advance for what You have in store for us in the coming church year. Ask Your continued blessing on our church, on our people, on our hearts. I pray that You would use more and more of us in more and more ways to further Your kingdom. Your kingdom in this world. Thank You for the privilege of being citizens of the kingdom and being servants of the kingdom as well. Thank You, Father. Now, Father, I ask You to speak to this church family. Like the prophet of old, Father, we say, speak, for Your servants are listening. Whatever You say, give You praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we bring our service to a close? And as always, if we can pray with you, needs, we prayed for some people already in the service. We can pray for you about personal and specific needs. If you'll hang around and wait back for us for just a moment. Pray with you about those things before you leave here today so that you, everyone, receives the ministry you felt you needed here today. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you so much for giving your attention to this service today. And we trust that you'll listen. We trust that you'll listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed today. In Your presence, there is peace. In Your presence, there is joy. I will stay in Your presence day by day till Your likeness may be seen in me. Hey, have a great and safe holiday weekend. Enjoy your Memorial Day cookouts. We hope to see you Wednesday night for Bible study and prayer.